Amen. Our thanks to Kuda and the worship team for leading us this morning into the presence of Almighty God. And good morning to each and every one of you. Good morning. It's good to be here. Good to see you this morning. Now, this is an inside joke for the deacons who were with me yesterday, and we talked about timings of services, and we said that we're going to look to try and get the preacher on at 5 past, latest, and I'm looking at the time, and it's 21 minutes past 11, so I just need about 2 hours of your time this morning. No, I'm just playing. I'm just playing. Right, I want to get right into the word and see what the Lord would have us to say in the short time we have left. But I want to look at a very obscure passage. Perhaps many don't really look at this particular book and these passage, but I want to look at an Old Testament minor prophet, Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 1. Habakkuk chapter 1 and from verse 12. And before we leave verse 12 up, before we read verse 12, I'm just going to read the previous verse from verse 2, and then I'm going to go to 12. This is the complaint of this prophet of God. He's complaining to God about the state of Judah and about what God was intending to do to Judah by way of judgment. And it says, "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Oh. Or how long will I cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing?" And then from verse 12 it reads, "Lord," another question, "Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, you will never die. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up more righteous than themselves?" I want to come now to chapter 2 and look at from verse 1. It says, "I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint." So he's saying, "Lord, what are you going to say to me, to all these questions? What are you going to reply?" And then in verse 2 it says, the Lord's answer, "Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation. Write it down. And make it plain on tablets, so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. For it will certainly come, and will not delay." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that gives life. And now, Lord, we ask humbly that you would speak to us today, just like Habakkuk wanted to hear from you here in 2022. Your people desire still to hear from you. So would you speak to us today and get the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, this morning, I have to apologize because your pastor, Nathan Gordon, is not here this morning. I'm so sorry that he is AWOL. He's absent without leave. And today, standing before you, is an Old Testament prophet by the name of Habakkuk. I know many of you don't know me well. I know I'm not famous like the major prophets, like Isaiah. I know I'm just a minor prophet and perhaps insignificant to many of you here today. I know that the passages in this book are not perhaps ones that people in the world like to quote with familiarity. Perhaps my book is not the first one that people like to go to. But I want to share today some important information about how we can hear from God. And even in the midst of challenging circumstances, dangers seen and unseen, I believe my testimony can help you today in 2022 of how you can receive from heaven. Now, just like the story of a young girl who desired so much in her heart to see a gentleman and a pop star by the name of Justin Bieber. And she wanted each year, she petitioned her mum, "Mum, I would like to see this entertainer by the name of Justin Bieber." And mum said, "Okay, one day we'll make it happen. Don't know about right now, but one day, if it happens, we'll make sure that you get to see Justin Bieber in concert." But the same little girl got wind that taking place at Lambeth Palace, there was a particular event. And she heard a commotion around that there was a great event taking place at Lambeth Palace. And who was going to be starring that event? A fellow by the name of Justin. And before she went on to inquire about the surname of this particular individual, she was so excited. She was so caught up with the news that Justin was going to be at Lambeth Palace. So she said, "Mum, let's go to this event. It's at Lambeth Palace. Justin is going to be there." Lo and behold, only to find that it wasn't Justin Bieber at Lambeth Palace, but it was the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby. So I'm sorry this morning to disappoint you. Maybe you was expecting something else this morning, but today you're going to have to put up with lowly Habakkuk. My story was written around 610 BC. The state of Judah was in complete ruin because the nation had turned away from God. They had forsaken him. And as a prophet of the Lord, my job was to hear from heaven and to give the people the instructions and the word of God so that they would follow it. But unfortunately, I did my best to share God's word with them, but they wouldn't listen. They were a stiff-necked people. They were disobedient to the will of God. And not only was Judah in 610 BC a place of disobedience, but all of us here today can bear witness that we are living in a nation, we are living in a society, and in a world where men's hearts are seemingly waxing cold against God. We see on a daily basis, and we watch the news, and we watch how Vladimir Putin is waging war against Ukraine. We see on the news, when we look around us today, and just recently a storm, a hurricane called Ian, which was billed as the most deadliest storm to impact Florida since 1935. And I know, friends, when we look around us today and we see the forecasts of the government bidding us and telling us that hard times are before us. A chancellor is appointed, and then in a few weeks, he's sacked. The rise of inflation, and each week it seems that things are just getting worse. And I know that when we look around us and we see our society today, we see sin and rebellion against God. Laws being passed that are diametrically opposed against the word of God. We see even reports in our capital, London, of young people waking up in the morning and going to school, a place where they are supposed to be learning and growing in their education, a place of safety, or it should be a place of safety, but yet still we hear reports of young children going to school and not coming home. Knife crime on the rise. Children stabbing each other for petty postcode and gang wars. But yet still, just like in 610 BC in Judah, a place that was rigged with hopelessness and fear and the very rejection of Jehovah as God. As my people in Judah, they brought into fruition idol worship, and they worshipped false idols and replaced the one true God of Israel with false gods. But even in the midst of chaos, friends, even in 2022, when we peruse the news and it seems like the vision is bleak, but I want to encourage you today that just like Habakkuk in the Old Testament, God is still speaking even amongst the chaos. Amen. Even amongst rebellion, even amongst false idol worship, and even amongst crime and all manner of evil in our world and society, I want to encourage each and every one of you today that God is still speaking to his children. And he has a vision for us, a vision that has been ordained by heaven. And despite what's happening around us, I believe God is still speaking a clear direction of where each and every one of us should be. So what do we do amongst chaos in our lives? What do we do? And it seems like we're just hitting a brick wall. Don't know where to turn. It seems like you have a lack of direction in your life. Well, Habakkuk lets us know the first thing we must do is look to heaven. Because the challenge with us as human beings and even as Christians is when we face struggles in our life, and when we see what's happening around us, it can allow us to take our attention off God and focus on the here and on the now. And if we take our focus off God and focus on what's happening around us, then it will cause depression to come upon us, and it will cause us to be in fear and in trembling. But Habakkuk says, we must look to God. And then God spoke to him and said, he replied, write down what I say. Take out your iPads. Take out your iPhones and your Android phones. Make notes. Write it down on tablets so that the herald may run with it. Because the revelation coming from God, it is, here it is, it's for an appointed time. It speaks of an end. And it will not prove to be false. And although it may linger, although it may seem to us in our human time frames of being delayed, the Bible lets us know that it will come to pass. And I want to encourage you today that whatever God is speaking, it will come to pass. Don't allow what's happening around us to make us think that God is silent. Whatever he says, it will come to pass. And I don't know what you are praying for today. I don't know what you are hoping for. I don't know what you are believing God for in your families, amongst your relationships, amongst your peer groups.
Maybe it's a miracle that you are praying for God to realize in your life or on behalf of someone that you know. But whatever that prayer request is, if God is speaking it, then it will come to pass. There's a saying in the world that seeing is believing. How many of you have heard that before? Seeing is believing. In other words, you need to see something with your own eyes before you can believe it. Before you can accept that it really exists or that it can occur. But I want to encourage you today that we serve a God that can demonstrate his power and his might, that even at times in our lives when we don't see it right now, when we don't see it with our very own eyes, but we believe that God is able to do, as we read this morning, exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or even imagine. So even when we don't see the vision with our natural eyes, please don't limit the power and the potential of God, that in his time, that his vision will come to pass. So finally this morning, Judah and Sittingbourne Baptist Church today, what should you have in your toolbox as we close out this series? We had such a productive meeting yesterday with the deacons. I'm so excited to share with you very shortly the full picture of where we believe God is taking this church. But before we get to the picture of the vision, because you can go to the store and buy a lovely artistic piece, a beautiful painting, a wonderful vision and sight to behold. And as you purchase that painting and you have a plan to perhaps put it on the wall above your mantelpiece in your home, the first thing you have to do is you have to look to make sure you have the right tools in the toolbox in order to put the picture on the wall. Because you may see the picture, and the picture may appear beautiful to you, but the vision that you have to put it on its final place where you can behold its beauty, then one must have the right tools in the toolbox. So I'm going to share in full detail with us in November at our members' meeting, but before we do that, I want to ensure that we have the right tools. Before we show you the full picture, we've got to have the right tools in place. And the first thing that I believe is important, number one, we have to be all in for Christ. Can we say that together? All in for Christ. At our vision prayer meetings over the past couple of weeks, we heard from God by way of prophecy that God was encouraging us and challenging us that we needed to be all in for Christ. The question was, what are we holding back? What are we reserving back for ourselves? Are we completely surrendered to God? And we're told in Matthew chapter 5, a story about Jesus given the illustration of the salt in the earth. And if the salt has lost its flavor, it's no good for anything. We have to be all in for Christ. Because where the Lord wants to take us in the future, it is incumbent upon us, his children, that we are fully surrendered to him. Number two, a church where God's love is shared amongst all, not just some, but all. John puts it this way: whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or his sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have never seen. There must be love shared amongst us, friends, in a rich and in a powerful way. And as we move forward together, we pray that we will continue to harbor and foster a deep sense of love for all. Number three, a church where the full gospel and the undiluted word of God is preached. The Bible lets us know that even if we or any other angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one that we've preached to you, let them be accursed. So as we move forward together, we must continue to uphold the standard of preaching the full gospel, repentance and faith in Jesus Christ alone. Number four, we must be a forgiving church. Ah, I love this. A forgiving church. We can't harbor unforgiveness if we desire to go anywhere for God. And I want to encourage each and every one of you here today, if you know that there's an ought that you have with your brother, your sister in the church, or even outside, go and make it right. Have a chat. Go out for coffee or tea, whatever. And say, we're not leaving here until we come to some set form of resolution. Because that's what the Lord wants us to be. A forgiving people. Because just as we have received from Him forgiveness for our sins, how then can we not forgive others? We're called to be a forgiving church. Number five, a church serious about prayer, individually and collectively. The apostles in the early church, they were devoted to prayer. And for the church today in 2022, the question before us, do we still have that same sense of devotion to prayer? Over the past 2 weeks, I have been greatly encouraged by our early morning prayer meetings and to see so many come out early in the morning at 7 a.m. to pray and to seek God's face. And we're excited to share with you some updated times for prayer very shortly. That's going to cater to a variety of people in the church. Because I know that not all of us can come early in the morning. Not all of us can come to the evening. But we're going to have a variety of different ways in which we can come together and pray. Number six, we must strive to be a no-gossip tolerance church. Let's say it together. A no-gossip tolerance church. Paul says to the Corinthians, I'm afraid that when I come to you, I may not find you as I want to be. He says, I fear that there may be discord and jealousy and fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, and here it is, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. Church, gossip has the potential to destroy churches. And we have to be very careful with that sin of gossip. I guarantee you, if I was to go to Mark and give Mark a two-line sentence of a story and then ask Mark to go and share it one by one with each member and pass it on, I guarantee you, before we get to everyone upstairs, what I told Mark would be completely different by the time we reach upstairs. Because that's the thing with gossip. Everyone can take one thing, what they hear, and then say another thing and add to it. And then before you know it, it's like, what's going on? So we've got to get rid of gossip out of our toolbox, church. If someone comes to you and says, did you hear about it? Say, no, I don't want to hear it. Oh, but did you hear it? No. Not interested. Let's just pray for them. A no-gossip tolerance church. The problem with gossip is that it achieves nothing. Number seven, a church committed to the Great Commission. We are a church that's called to declare Christ to people and disciple people to Christ, born out of the Great Commission, as Jesus commissioned his disciples to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're going to be doing some new things in terms of evangelism and trying to get more people involved in evangelism and sharing your testimonies and your stories. Because all of us are on the same team of evangelism. It's not just a few members of the church who are the evangelists, but all of us are called to share the good news of Jesus. Number 8, we're nearly there. A church of unity amongst all generations and ethnicities. Hallelujah. I love this. In Revelation, John looked and he said, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe and people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands." I'm so glad to be a part of a community of faith that it doesn't matter if you are white, it doesn't matter if you are black, it doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how many degrees you have to your name, how much money you have in the bank, but all are welcome to worship Jesus together. And in our diversity as a church, so beautiful that we can come under one house and we can offer praise and worship to God. And some may like to worship God quietly and in the stillness of God, and that is great. But some may like to be exuberant, the rebel Pentecostals like myself, and like to raise the hand and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. But here's the beauty, church. The same worship that is offered in silence and contemplation, if it's in spirit and in truth, is the same worship that is offered and is acceptable God to the one who's loud and boisterous. There isn't just one way to worship God. So we are striving to be a church that welcomes all different styles and forms of praise and worship. That it doesn't matter who you are, what way you express your worship to God, as long as it's in spirit and in truth, and it's not about making a performance of yourself, but it's offered in sincerity of heart, then come on in and worship God together. 9, a church where children and youth are embraced as the church of today and not just tomorrow. Our children and young people are not just the church of tomorrow, but they are the church of right now. There used to be a sign in my former church right above the rostrum, and it used to say, "Great Sunday schools build great churches." Great Sunday schools build great churches. And we're so blessed to have an active Sunday school. And even now I can hear the mutter and the talk from upstairs. But the investment that we make in our young ones is not just for the hope and the vision that tomorrow they may walk in the ways of the Lord, but even right now, they can be fully a part of the church and of the ministry. And we're going to get them more involved in our corporate worship and in our services. Finally, number 10, a worshiping church in spirit and in truth. We are called to honor God and to walk in holiness, where worship is not just about style, but it's about substance, led by the Holy Spirit. Friends, as we close this morning, for Judah and for Habakkuk, the scene of their story was utter chaos and rebellion. But yet still God was speaking to the nation and through the prophet that I'm still the God that's able to speak in chaos. And even right now, even the challenges that we face amongst us today, I'm so grateful that God is still speaking even now. And if you're here today and you sense God speaking to you, then right now we're going to come to a time of prayer as we draw this service to a close. And I want us to focus on God at this moment and allow him to speak to us. And just like Habakkuk, write it down. Write down what I say. Write it on tablets. And though the vision may tarry, it will come to pass. Let's pray together. Father, we're so grateful that you are still speaking to your people. And although we live in a time where, just like Judah and Habakkuk, where there's so much chaos all around us and violence, thank you that you are still speaking to your children. And Lord, we just ask humbly that you will continue to direct our footsteps, to direct our paths, and to speak into our situations, speak into our challenges, speak into our problems. Father, would you speak to each and every heart even now? Show us your perfect way. And Lord, as we looked at those 10 areas, 10 tools that we desire to implement in your church, Father, we pray that we would earnestly desire to use these tools for your glory and for your honor. Help us not to be a gossiping church. Help us to be a church that is focused on you. Help us to be a worshiping church in spirit and in truth. Help us to be a forgiving church, to not harbor unforgiveness in the camp, but to make peace with our brothers and our sisters. Help us to be a church that facilitates growth in all generations, for the young ones and even for the old. And help us more than ever to be united through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. So we love you now, and to you be all the glory, the honor and the praise. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.